All right, take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we're coming back again to Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse number 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Appreciate Daniel leading the music tonight, trying to expose him a little bit to the ministry here and so on. So I'm tempted to say something I shouldn't there, but I'm going to be good to you, brother, okay? Amen. Their time is just about done here. They'll be here just about 2.5 more weeks, and I hope they're learning a lot while they're here. And, of course, Daniel told me he's learning a lot of things not to do while he was here is what he told me. But anyway, the Lord will reward him for his great attitude. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding with you, brother. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse number 13. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. When he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 13. It's the phrase, "when they were departed." When they were departed. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of calling you our Father. As I bow before you, I ask that you forgive my sin. Help me to be a clean vessel. I don't want anything hindering you. And Lord, I pray that you remove any hindrances. Pray, Father, tonight that you'll speak through me. Teach us from your word. Thank you that we know without a doubt that we hold a copy of the inspired and inerrant infallible Word of God. And I pray you help us to preach it faithfully tonight. Speak to us and minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these verses, it would be good for us to go back just briefly and review what has just taken place in this chapter. Now, in the opening 12 verses of this chapter, of Matthew chapter 2, we saw how the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem looking for the Christ child. Now, when Herod heard this news, he was troubled and gathered the priest and the scribes together to see where Christ should be born. Now, these scribes and priests told him that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, here's a side note, not in my notes, but let me give it to you here. It's interesting. Nobody knows for sure how many miles the wise men traveled to find the Christ child, yet these prophets and priests are basically around 5 miles from where the baby Jesus is lying. They knew, according to Scripture, where the baby was born, but they were not interested enough to get up and take the 5 miles to go see him. Can you imagine that? Knowing the truth and yet not being willing to go see it for yourself. Now, there's a message right there somewhere. I'm not going to preach it tonight. May never preach it. But I'm telling you, we see the spiritual climate, if you will, of this day around Herod and around his palace. Now, they told him that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem. When Herod heard this, he privately called the wise men to him, and he sent them to Bethlehem. And he told them to bring him word again and tell him where the child was so he also could come and worship the child. Now, we understand that the wise men went out from this meeting and they again saw the star that they saw in the east. And it was going before them, leading them to the very house where Jesus Christ was lying inside. The wise men entered the house. They saw the Lord. They fell down and worshiped him, giving him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, after this meeting, we preached on that Sunday night, and after this meeting that they had with the baby Jesus, they had a meeting with God in a dream that warned them not to return back to Herod. Now, these wise men departed into their own country another way. Now, this is where we pick up this chapter. We see this opening phrase, when they were departed. Now, who's they? It's the wise men. When the wise men departed and went back to their country, there are three things I see in this text. When they were departed, three thoughts I want to give you. Number one, the first thing we see when they were departed, we see, first of all, the appearing of the angel. Now, notice verse number 13. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Look at verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Let me tell you something. This appearance, these two appearances of this angel of the Lord, it is jammed packed with application for our life tonight. Now stay with me here. When the wise men departed, we are aware, now get this, we are aware of the wickedness that Herod had and that he was concocting in his own mind. We know, because we've read the rest of the story, that Herod was not going to come to worship Christ. He was coming to kill the Christ child. By the way, he was a moron. No doubt about it. I mean, he knew that this was the Christ child, and he thought that God would just turn his face and let him kill his own boy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's how crazy somebody is when they're wrapped up in themselves. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. I'm getting a little bit riled up tonight because I know where I'm going with this. I'm telling you, what I see here is that when the wise men departed, listen to me, we knew what was in Herod's mind. Joseph may not have. Now, stay with me here. Therefore, when the wise men departed, immediately, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in verse number 13 and told him to take the child and his mother and go into Egypt and stay there until he brought him word again. Now when Herod saw that the wise men mocked him, this is in verses 14 down through verse number 16, actually verse number 18, we see that when Herod saw that when the wise men mocked him, he became infuriated, and he called for a mass murder of innocent children from 2 years old and younger. And he called for this around in Bethlehem and around the surrounding parts. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That is a wicked man right there. He is ungodly, and I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't say this with pleasure, but he's burning in hell as I speak. This man was ungodly. He was wicked. And just because the wise men did not do what he said and obeyed God, he became so mad that he went into every home. He sent soldiers into every home. And if there was a child in there, 2 years old or younger, he had them killed before their own parents. That makes me mad. I mean, that bothers me. But I'm going to tell you something here. The Lord knew. Now get this. This is the reason the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, get out of town. Now don't miss the thought here. The Lord knew what the intentions of Herod were. Now, we realize that the slaughter of the children was terrible, but the good news is that they went to heaven. Amen. Now, I'm telling you something here, but the point I'm trying to get across to you is even though he thought his desire was hidden, Herod, He thought his desire was hidden from everybody. The Lord knew all about it. Now, folks, listen. In this first appearance, now I'm giving you two thoughts under the appearing of the angel, the first one and then the second one. I'm talking about the first one here. In the first appearance, we see the great truth of God's omniscience come shining through. I'm telling you, Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Bible says in 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Can I just make this statement? May I make this statement right here? I don't know your heart, but God does. That's why it's so important that your life is lived on a godly basis day by day. There are people who play church. There are people who come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but in their heart they know something's wrong, something's missing, something's off. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody else may know anything about it, but God already does. God is all-knowing. We see this about this first appearing of the angel. He knew what was going to take place. He shared it with Joseph, and he told him to take the baby Jesus out of town. Then there was a second appearance in verses 19 and 20. We see the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph again to tell him that Herod was dead. Now, as a side note, the angel did not even name Herod. He simply said, they are dead. Now, I'm telling you, this goes to show that the enemies of the Lord, get this, folks, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ may try to stamp out his lovely name. They've been trying to stamp out his name for years, but his name is still alive and doing well, and his enemies will be the one to pass off the scene. Herod is passed off the scene. At the end of the day, it will be the Lord Jesus Christ who is still alive, and all of his enemies will be dead and buried and gone, and he's still going to be alive forevermore. His enemy has died. His enemies come and go, but the name of Jesus Christ stands forever. And the angel comes and tells Joseph to take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. In the first one, we see his omniscience. In this appearance, we are reminded not only of the passing of the Lord's enemies, but also of the tender guidance of the Lord and his care in our lives. Joseph didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to go, but the angel of the Lord appeared to him at the right time and told him which way he should go. And even after this second appearance, we see God warning him later on in this chapter in a dream that he's to depart into another way. And all I'm saying to you is this, don't you see the tender, loving care of the baby Jesus right here? I mean, the baby Jesus, yes, I know it's a mystery. He's the God-man. And yet the angel of the Lord is coming down and tenderly guiding Joseph every step of the way. And in that, we see Herod has died and the angel is guiding because the care and the nurture and the love for the lovely Lamb of God was so prevalent. And here's the thought that hit me in my study. God's child is cared for. He cared for his son, and if you're his child, he cares for you too. I'm glad tonight that I am found in Christ Jesus. And because Christ is loved, so am I. And just like he was protected, so am I. And the first thing we see when they were departed is we see the appearing of the angel. In the first appearance, we see his omniscience. In the second appearance, we see his guiding his children. And we see him caring for his children. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Aren't you glad God cares for you tonight? We see this in the second appearance of the angel. Number one, when they were departed, we notice the appearing of the angel. But number two, we notice when they were departed, we see the actions of Joseph. Now I want you to see this in verse number 14 and then verses 21 to 23. In verse number 13, we see the angel of the Lord appears to him and tells him, get out of town and go to Egypt. Notice what he does in verse 14. Why, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Look at verse number 21 through 23. Now in verse number 20, the second appearance of the angel comes and he says, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel. Notice what he does in verse 21. And he arose, took the young child and his mother, came to the land of Israel. This is so simple, it's ridiculous. But read on, verse 22. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Now, I see two things about Joseph and his actions that he took. And these same two actions, we all need to put them as deep as we can in our heart and not get away from it. Now, I realize this is simple tonight, but that's what I try to be, simple. There's two actions Joseph took. Number one, he obeyed the Lord's commands. He obeyed the Lord's commands. I mean, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in verse number 13 and told him to take the child and go to Egypt, he didn't ask questions, he didn't murmur, he didn't complain, he didn't say, I'm comfortable here. He simply arose and obeyed and went to Egypt. Whenever the angel of the Lord came and said, now it's time to get up, go into the land of Israel. He didn't question, he didn't doubt, he didn't bicker, he didn't complain. He went up, he got up, and he took the child into the land of Israel. What I see here is I see a man who did exactly what God told him to do without questions and without hesitation. There's no hesitation here, there's no questions here. We see in verses 21 to 23 how every time the Lord spoke to him, he did not question it. He immediately obeyed. What a lesson we can learn from this man. What a lesson. The lesson, taking orders from headquarters. I'm talking about the lesson of getting our commands from God, and whatever he tells us to do, we don't question, we don't doubt, we don't bicker, we don't complain, we don't make excuses. We simply say, he told me to get up, I'm getting up. He told me to go there, I'm going there. He told me to stay away from there, I'm staying away from there. He told me to do this, I'll do that. You know what the Christian life is? It is a life of yes, sir. That's what it is. It's a life of finding what God wants you to do and taking that step. Listen to what he finds you want to do, taking that step. If he tells you to take a step with your right foot, don't take it with your left foot, take it with your right foot. Whatever God tells you to do, obey it now. Why do people put off doing what God tells them to do? It makes no sense to me. We mess our life up when God tells us to go left and we say, let me think about it. God tells us to go right and we say, well, left looks a little bit better to me. Wait a minute, when are we going to learn that God knows more than we do? And when God says do it, do it. If he says don't do it, don't do it. We learn the first action that he took. He obeyed the Lord's commands. John 2:5, his mother saith unto the servants, when he turned the water to wine, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's great advice. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord and Lord? And do not the things which I say. Joshua 24:24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now you know the story there where Saul did not completely destroy everything. He thought that his idea was better than God's. And all the good animals, he saved them because he said, I'm going to sacrifice them to God. But God told him to destroy them. And yet Samuel stuck his face right in the king's face and he said, which one is God more pleased with your sacrifice or with your obedience? To obey is better than sacrifice. Number one, the first action of Joseph, we notice he obeyed the Lord's commands. Number two, he stayed until the Lord moved him. Now watch this. Look at chapter 2, verse number 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Now notice this statement. And be thou there until I bring thee word. Do you see that? Be thou there until I bring thee word. Now we see that when we come down to verse number 19, but when Herod was dead, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph, where? Where's he at? He's in Egypt. Where did the angel of the Lord tell him to go? Where? Where did he tell him? Egypt. And he said, you don't move until I come and see you again. And the next time the angel shows up, Joseph is still in Egypt. This is a great lesson for us to learn. The great lesson is this. You stay where God has you until God moves you. Amen. In verse number 13, again, we notice how he told him to go to Egypt and stay there until God brought him word again. And then we see Joseph obeyed the Lord immediately, went to Egypt, did not move until the angel brought him word again like he said. And in this we see that Joseph moved when the Lord told him. In other words, if God says go, go. But then when he says go, you stay there until he says go again. You don't move. You don't go this way and that way and there and there and there and there and there and there. God's not in you going here and there and there and there and there. He'll send you there and teach you a great lesson. Then he may move you to another place, but I guarantee he's not going to move you to another place and then another 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 and then another. He doesn't work that way, folks. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you that what I'm saying to you is that if you are where God wants you to be, then you stay put until God moves you. And then when God shows up and says, it's time to move, then you say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No doubt about it. Now, we know that that applies to church. That applies to Bible reading. Listen to me, folks. That applies to the will of God, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. There's some things you should never move away from. Your Bible reading, your prayer life, your witnessing, your church attendance. But I'm talking about things like jobs and churches and all these different kind of, you've got to make sure that when God says stay, you stay. But when he says go, you don't stay, you go. Are you with me? You see it? Joseph stayed where God told him to go until the angel of the Lord came back again and said, now it's time to move. Now, he had great patience. He did not jump the gun. He did not get out of Egypt until the Lord told him to move. Let me ask you a question. Now, this is not in the Word of God here, so I'm not saying it happened. I'm just saying it could be. It could be that Joseph and the family may have had some tempting times in Egypt. I'm talking about it was hard to stay. Maybe wanting to go somewhere else, it might be a little bit better there. What kept Joseph in Egypt? What kept him there? The Word of God, right? He had God's Word. You go to Egypt. That's all he knew. All he knew was go to Egypt. And then when he went there, the angel said, when you go there, you stay there until I come back to you again. And then when the angel came to him, he said, okay, it's time to move. So now Joseph is moving back to the land of Israel. But it's being orchestrated all by the will of God. Question. Did Joseph know where he would end up? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. The Bible's not. It doesn't speak on that. So where the Bible's not, I'm not going to put an exclamation point where the Bible doesn't put an exclamation point. You understand what I'm saying? But here's what I do know. I do know that Joseph knew the next step he was supposed to take. That's all he knew. What's the next step? And when he took that step, God gave him another one. And when he took that step, God gave him another one. Does any of this sound familiar? You remember the story back in 1 Kings chapter 17? The story of Elijah and the famine. He walks into King Ahab and he says, it's not going to rain until I say it does. And then God appeared to him and said, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And he said, if you go there, you can drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, if you've been here any stretch of the time that I've been pastor, this is all repeat here because I bring this up every now and then. But he went to the brook Cherith, and guess what happened? He drank of the brook, and there came the ravens bringing the meat to him, just like God said. But then the Bible says this, the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, guess what happened? God appeared to him again. And he said, arise and go to Zarephath. And he said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So what did he do? Did he stay by the brook? The brook's been good. I don't want to move. I don't want to leave this brook. It's been good to me. I mean, good night. Look, the ravens are bringing. I can't leave this place. Yet God said, this is not anymore. Now it's Zarephath. And you understand that God only promised to take care of Elijah if Elijah went to the place he sent him. That's it. God did not say, go to the brook Cherith, but if you don't, I'm still going to send the ravens no matter where you go. He didn't say that, folks. He said, I'm going to send the ravens. I believe personally, can't prove it, you can't disprove it. I believe personally that the ravens were bringing the meat whether Elijah was there or not. Because God said, I've already commanded the ravens to bring you food there. So if he didn't go, maybe they had a feast on it, I don't know. But I know this, if God said ravens are bringing food, I'll guarantee the ravens brought the food. Amen. And all I'm saying to you is in the Christian life, there are Cherith Zarephath experiences. I'm talking about God, listen to me please, a lot of times he will not tell you about Zarephath. Now he has a widow there he wants you to witness to. He has a widow there that he wants to meet their need and show his love to. But before you ever get to Zarephath, many times he sends you to Cherith. And it's a one-step process. The only thing Elijah had was go to Cherith. He knew nothing about Zarephath at that time. Nothing. The only thing he knew was God said go to Cherith, so he went to the brook Cherith. God proved himself to him there. He drank of the brook just like God said. The ravens brought him bread. I'm talking about flesh and food and all these kind of things, just like God's proving to his man, you listen to me, I will provide for you. And when he learned that lesson and that brook dried up, God said, now you're ready. There's a widow in Zarephath, and I've commanded her there to take care of you. What's the point I'm trying to say? The point I'm trying to make to you is that we get discouraged if we can't see 10 or 12 steps down the road, and many times people quit because they don't know where it's all going. You see what I'm saying? They don't know where you're going to end up. I'm talking about the will of God being progressive. I'm talking about the unknown will of God. There's the known will of God, that stuff that you know is His will, like reading your Bible, praying. I mean, it's obvious. It's in the Word of God. It's in the revealed Word of God. But there's also the unknown will of God. What job do you take? What school do you attend? What church do you attend? You get me? How do you find the will of God on that? Let me tell you, one step at a time. When God says go, you go there. And then you stay there until He moves you. Are you with me tonight? Amen or not? This is what we learn from Joseph. The actions of Joseph is obey the Lord and stay where He has you until He obviously moves you. And He will make it obvious. Now, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Somebody may be listening to me right now and you say, I don't know what to do in that area. I don't know what to do in that area. It could be a marriage, it could be a job situation, and so on. There's no telling how many people may be listening to me right now saying, there's a situation in my life, I do not know what to do. If you don't know what to do, here's my advice. Don't do anything. Stay put. Keep doing the will of God. Keep doing what you know to do is what I'm trying to say. And as you do what you know to do, God will reveal more to you. And then when you take that step, He will reveal more to you. And when you take that step, He will reveal more to you. That's just how it works, folks. So I'm asking you, have you taken the final step that God has wanted you to take in your life? Have you done it? If you have, then all you need to worry about, you've obeyed. Now what are you going to do? Stay until God shines light and says, I want you to go right now, or I want you to go left now. It's something I can't tell you how it works. I'm just saying God's not going to show you all the way over there to the flag. He's going to show you just so far and see if you're going to trust Him there. Am I making sense to you? This is what Joseph did. He only had one thing, and he did it. When he did it, God showed up to him again, and He showed him another step, and he did it. And every time the Lord showed up to him and said, do this, he just kept doing what the Lord told him to do. That's the way to live your life. If God says step, step. If He doesn't, don't. This is what we learn from Joseph, the actions of Joseph. Now, then number three. Number one, when they were departed, we notice, first of all, the appearing of the angel. And we see God's omniscience, God's care for His children, His guiding of His children in those appearances. Then, secondly, we've noticed the actions of Joseph. In it, we see he obeyed the Lord, whatever He told him to do, and he stayed where God had him until God moved him. Okay, you're with me, right? Then number three, we notice the accomplishment of prophecy. The accomplishment of prophecy. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, and was there until the death of Herod. Notice this now, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Look at verses 17 and 18. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and Ramah was there, voice heard, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Look at verse number 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Three separate times, that it might be fulfilled. It was fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. You know what that word fulfilled means? It means accomplished. That's what it means. It means accomplished. It's done. It's happened. Now, here's what I'm saying. When they, the wise men, were departed, we see the accomplishment of prophecy taking place. The emphasis of the book of Matthew is what? The emphasis is Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. That's the emphasis of the book. One way this book does this and emphasizes this is to show the different Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled or accomplished during and after His birth. We see three of these right here in this text. In verse number 15, the Word of God tells us that the true king would be called out of Egypt. This is a prophecy found in Hosea 11:1, when it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So the true king of the Jews would come out of Egypt. Where'd the angel send Jesus? Egypt. So we see that prophecy was accomplished. Then we see in verses 17 and 18, the Word of God tells us that the prophecy given in Jeremiah 31:15 was fulfilled with Herod's slaughter of the innocent children. Now, does this mean God was behind it? Is that what it means? No, it just simply means He knew it would happen. And yet that's found in Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. That was in Jeremiah 31:15. It is accomplished, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then we see in verse number 23 that the Word of God tells us that the prophecy that he would be called a Nazarene was fulfilled with the turning aside in the Nazareth. Now, you will not find that directly in the Old Testament. Let me explain. You're not going to find an Old Testament scripture that says he's coming out of Nazareth. You're not going to find that. And I want to show you something interesting. It came out, and when I saw it, it's like, Notice what the Word of God says in verse number 15, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the what? Prophet, singular. Look at verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. What's it say about Nazareth? And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, verse 23, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, plural. Now here's what I believe. Now I always preface, when we're not exactly sure, I always preface it by saying, we're not sure, but this is what I believe. I'm being an honest preacher when I say that to you, okay? Now, all I'm saying to you is this. Every other fulfilled prophecy in this text was spoken by the prophet, spoken by Jeremy, the prophet. But when you get to his turning aside into Nazareth, it goes from prophet to prophets, plural. Now, it's not referring to just one prophet. You see what I'm saying? But it's referring to more than one. Now, I'm going to give you a possibility that I agree with that came out in my study. I can't prove this, but I agree with it. We know from a detailed study that Nazareth was a place that was looked upon as despised, it was rejected, it was without comeliness, and it was without beauty. Mm-hmm. In the same way, in different places in Old Testament prophets, including Isaiah 53, 2 and 3, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. You know what the word Nazareth means? It means a sprout. In other words, back in this day when a tree was cut off, there'd be just a little sprout that sprung up through the tree trunk. People thought it was worthless. Just cut it off. It's not comely. It's not beautiful. Get rid of it. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I personally believe that what this is saying, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophets, he should be called a Nazarene. Here's what I'm saying, is that he's coming out of a place that identified who he is. He is despised. He is rejected. He is spit upon. He's not comely. He has no beauty that we should desire him. That was Nazareth. That was Nazareth. Isaiah 53, 2 and 3, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, so was Nazareth. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we his that were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not, so was Nazareth. I'm telling you, I don't know what all this means, and I can't dogmatically say that that's what it means, but I know this. The Bible says the prophets pointed back to it, and I know the prophets somehow, some way, point back to the fact that he's coming out of Nazareth, and that's exactly where he came out of. Don't get bogged down in, what's that mean? What's that mean? What's that mean? I don't know what it means either. I told you what I believe, but I know this. I know the Bible says the prophets prophesied it, so we know it does somehow, some way. Amen or not on that? And I'm telling you that we know that because the prophets pointed to it, to Nazareth, that's one reason that Joseph went down to Nazareth, because God, listen to me folks, it was fulfilling Scripture. On all of this, and all of this accomplishment of Scripture, and all of it, here's what we see. It was all pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ was truly the promised one of God. He is the King of Kings. Old Testament prophecy, which had a theme of a coming king who would rule, it was all accomplished in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of this, you know what we see? He is no imposter. He is no fraud. Christ really is the Son of God. He really is the King of Kings. He is the King of the Jews. He is God, just like the Bible said he would be. And one way we know it is the accomplishment of prophecy within the Word of God fulfilled through his birth, his safety, his life, his death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His return. It's all true. It never contradicts. It all points that Jesus Christ really is who He claims to be. And if He's not, we're all lost, we're wasting our time, and we're going to burn in hell forever. But I know in my heart that He's the very Son of God. And I've trusted Him as my Savior. And because of that, I have a Bible hope. And that hope means expectation. It's not it might be, it's going to be, but it means it's future. I'm telling you, I have the hope. I'm going to live with Him forever in heaven. How do I know that? One way is because He fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. That's Matthew chapter 2. When they were departed, we saw the appearing of the angel, the actions of Joseph, and we saw the accomplishment of prophecy. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for this Bible study. We thank You for what we learn in Matthew chapter 2 from the appearing of the angel, and how You know all things, and how You care about us, and how You guide us down life's pathway. I thank You for the actions of Joseph and how we learn the simple thoughts that we are simply just to obey what You've given us to do and to stay where You have us until You move us. And I thank You, Lord, also for the accomplishment of prophecy and how Your birth and Your life and all these actions that were taking place, it simply pointed to the fact that You really are the King of Kings and You really are the promised Messiah. Thank You that You have revealed that to us. Help us to serve You with our hearts, I pray. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I want to tonight, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I don't want to ever be guilty of letting a service go by and not extending an open invitation for people who have never trusted Christ, confessed their sin, repented of their sin, and received Christ as their Savior. Tonight is a wonderful night for you to make that decision. If you've never trusted Christ, come on. Hey, how do you know it's worth it? How do you know He's real? Well, because one way, among many, He fulfilled Scripture. He fulfilled prophecy. And everything that was said in the Old Testament concerning the King of Kings, He did not contradict it. He confirmed it. And we know He's God. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because there's a step that He wants you to take. Maybe there's a step that He's wanting you to take and He's revealed it to you. This is the next step for you. It could be in your ministry. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your family. It could be at your job. I don't know what it is, but you say, Jody, there's a step that God is wanting me to take. If you know that God's wanting you to take another step, you're not hoping. You know it's what He wants you to do. By the way, you should never move unless you know what it is, you see. If you know God's wanting you to take a step, and you know what that next step is, you know where the brook Cherith is, you know where Egypt is in your life, you know where He wants you to go. You've not taken it yet, but you know what it is. Would you raise your hand? You say, Jody, that's me. There's a step like that. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. And I'm encouraging you to take it. Take that step. Have you say, Jody, as far as I know, I'm where the Lord wants me to be. But the Lord knows that I get in a hurry and I get impatient. And you say, Jody, what I need is I needed what you said about Joseph staying where God has him. Oh, I'm where God wants me to be. But I need God to help me stay put until He moves me. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. Several hands there. God bless you. In just a moment, I'm going to have us to stand in just a moment. If you raise your hand to any of that, I want you to come and come to this altar. You say, I normally don't come to the altar. Then do something abnormal and come this time. Talk to God about it. Say, God, help me to stay put until You move me and make it obvious when You want me to move. And you who raise your hand saying, God's shown me what He wants me to do, I need to take that step. Then why don't you come and say, God, help me. Give me the faith to take that step. Whatever it is. the Lord help us. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. Help them to do what you'd have them. Help us all to do what you'd have us to do. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? Come now. Come on. Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
We're playing through soft. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. Folks are praying. We're going to give them their time. I'm glad that the Lord works the way he does. My Brook Cherith was Crown College. God took me there to prove to me that he would take care of me. And he did. I didn't know that this would be my Zarephath. I'm telling you the truth. Didn't even enter my mind. Only thing I knew is that God wanted me to step down from baseball and he wanted me to answer the call to preach and go away to Bible college. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. I didn't know my wife was there. Never met her. I didn't know any of that. The only thing I knew was that step to take. And when we took that step, God showed other steps. And you know he's teaching me that's the same way it is in pastoring. There's certain steps he wants us to take as a church family. Then he wants us to stay put right there just a while. Then he'll reveal something else and we'll take another step. I'm glad. It'd probably scare us to death if God showed us everything in the future. He just lets us see so far. Now I'm applying this because this is obviously the easiest way to apply this message to our life. Because fulfilled prophecy, the application is, hey, the Bible's the word of God. Don't doubt it. Jesus fulfilled it. God cares about you. He loves you. He's trying to guide you. But then on top of that, he guides you one step at a time. Why should he show you five steps down the road if you're not willing to take the first one he's just shown you, you see? That's how he works. And I'm living the same thing. I'm so glad you're here. God bless you. I love you. My wife loves you. We love you. We care about you, every one of you. And we've got a great work to do. And whatever that next step is, I want the Lord to know. If he'll show us, we'll take that step. Amen. If he'll show us, we'll take that next step. Hope you feel the same way about it in your family, your marriage, your life, your ministry. That's all I'm saying. I've already preached it. Amen. No doubt about that. Brother Cash, sir. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers at this time while I'm thinking about it. All the bus workers, Brother John and others, all those working in the buses. And then Brother Cash, as soon as they start getting their way out, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.